Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Bear in mind that this show only exists because of your generous donations and subscriptions from the as little as $1 to $5 a month, where you can get the commercial-free archive. So if you either subscribe or donate, I send you the links to the ad-free archives pages and things like that. Believe me, if there's no ads, not only does it save you an awful lot of listening time, about maybe nearly 30 minutes per show, per two-hour show, but also that kind of flow that you get from jumping from one subject to the next, I think is actually far more enhanced if you're just listening to it straight through. It's like, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, and then we're back, you know. So at the moment, we're in desperate need of your support, both myself and AmericanFreedomRadio.com. So if you do appreciate what we do here on the network and what I do here on this show, giving a platform to people who otherwise would never be recognized or interviewed by mainstream media scumbaggery, then please give generously, because if you don't, we may not be around too much longer. This is the problem when you're telling the truth. Friend David Andrew Christensen said yesterday, you know, Vinny, if I got the money from my books and all the stuff that I'm doing, I'd buy you that new Mac that you've been after. And I said, really? Are you telling the truth? He's like, yeah. Then you're not going to be able to afford to get me that Mac, bro. It's just that simple. This world is based on lies and deceit. And usually those are the things that are rewarded. I think we can change that, but we've got to take personal responsibility for it. So go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and donate or subscribe to me. And if you don't like me in particular, but you like some of the other shows on the network, such as Kevin Barrett or Christy or Mel Fabregas, who we give a little bit of a platform to, and many others, go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on that donate banner there to support the network. Now, back to my guest, Scott Onstott. Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, I really do resonate with what you're just saying there about, you know, giving a small donation to the things that you enjoy. You know, I think that's really important. It's sort of like voting with your dollars. You just give a little bit, and it enables the researchers and the people that you like to hear, it allows them to continue doing that. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
It truly is. And I've occasionally been brought to tears just by looking at my inbox and seeing the donations come in, and just, you know, I'm so grateful just that I can continue doing this.
I'd like to encourage the sort of gift economy in the world somehow. You know, if we all just gave little bits, $5, $10, whatever, here and there, it would enable all kinds of different truthful, insightful research to be carried out, you know. So enough of that.
It's of course, once you've got an audience. I was just talking with my girlfriend Sarah over the break. For the first 3-4 years doing this radio show and going out and filming public meetings and things like that, I just couldn't work, and she was supporting me this whole time. And without her support, you know, just making sure that I was able to keep doing what I'm doing, just, you know, living on the bones of her ass, really, on her back. I just told her, you know, how grateful I am for that early support and her ongoing support. So I think, you know, you really got to appreciate what you got sometimes.
Oh, that's right. I think getting into the spirit of gratitude is the key to abundance, really, is to just being happy and grateful for what you do have. Whatever it is.
Yeah. Speaking of which, how can people support you, Scott?
Well, if you'd like my video, you can go ahead and watch it for free on my site, my Volume 1 film. If you really enjoy it, it would be great if you go ahead and buy it on DVD. And I have a Volume 2 film. You could purchase that on DVD also. I have a book. You can get a hard copy or an ebook copy, which you can download right away. It's all there at secretsinplainsight.com.
secretsinplainsight.com. All right, I'll make sure to also put that on the archive section of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, those links for people. So if you're listening to this live and you want to re-listen to it, and that's also another thing that I encourage people to do is a lot of the times when we're talking about this kind of intricate information, as we do, Scott, listening to it the once, it's kind of in one ear, out the other. And repetition is actually something that was used in medieval times as a way of memorizing and to be able to remember these things that you learn. So I encourage people to do that. That's right.
As and a
well.
Picture is worth a thousand words. And when you see my film, a lot of these concepts are expressed graphically, and you can comprehend them much more quickly than you can with words, and I'm really fumbling around with words trying to explain things when really a video or something of a sacred geometry, you can understand it in a few seconds, and I can spend 10 minutes trying to describe it all, and you still won't quite be able to get it unless you see the picture of it. So there's the added benefit for your right brain in looking at the images.
So in this area of research, and this is an element that I was thinking about, is I know a lot of people who get into this kind of research, many of which stay very grounded and very calm, some of which become obsessive and kind of go off the deep end and that sort of thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever met people like this?
Oh, yeah. It's all too often the case when people start discovering things that are secret. They get really excited about it, and they go too far, or they don't keep an open mind about it, and they decide that it's got to be this. The reason for it has to be this or that, and they may or may not be correct. But my approach is to try to keep a neutral or rational approach and try to present you with all the information and then leave it up to you to make your own conclusion about it. And I think that, well, that approach is one that I've been complimented on a lot, and it leaves it in your court. You get to decide whether it's a Luciferian conspiracy or a aliens behind it all, or just coincidence and nothing more to it, or whatever. You get to make those decisions, and I'm just presenting the facts, and you can verify the facts and check it out, you know. So that's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. I do also think that when you put belief added onto the facts, like, here's what happened, and then somebody theorizes as to why it happened, and they're so sure of themselves, I think that's really quite dangerous in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I'm very rarely sure of myself when it comes to things that I believe.
Yeah, that's right. It has to do with your perspectives in life, and I think that everyone's at a different stage in their personal journey, their life journey. And if you look back on your own life, if you introspect on that, the things that you are open to now maybe are, there's, you have more perspectives available to you now than you did, say, 10 years ago, if you just introspect on your own past. And so you have to have respect for other people that they may not be open to certain ideas yet, but they may be in the future, you see. And I know that in my own life, that was certainly the case.
Youth is wasted on the young.
I'm sorry?
You know the old saying that youth is wasted on the young?
That's right, yeah. Well, we all have to go through that, don't we? We all have to make this lifelong effort to grow up and wake up. And neither is easy. But the journey is well worthwhile, in my opinion, and it's a process that never ends until you pass away, and even then, we may come back again. So, What are you going to do with the next 30,000 years?
I've always found it ironic how children look at people that are older than them and call them grown-ups as if they've grown up.
Yeah, it's all too often. There's a lot of people who are at a arrested state of development, even as older people. But I think I really admire people that are always trying to expand their consciousness, to take other people's perspectives and try them on and see how that works for you. And you don't have to commit to it. You can just evaluate it and see if it makes any sense to you. And if it doesn't, at the end of the day, fine. You don't have to keep looking through my glasses. You can forget about it. But if there's something that I'm showing you that allows you to look at reality in another way, then that can be beneficial. That could be transformative. Could allow you to look at things and to have new tools, basically, to look at reality.
People just need to be wary of this because I'm sure you've had these conversations with people before if there was something to it, I would have heard about it already, or it would have been told to me or something like that. And it's just like, bro, are you saying to me that you currently know all knowledge that is of significance and everything that you don't currently know is insignificant?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing when you think of it that way. But at a certain stage of development, sort of, let's say, at a fundamentalist stage of development, people are quite happy getting all of their information from, say, one book, and they don't need other information. But later, if you are fortunate enough to have certain life conditions that allow you to, that support you and allow you to grow, you might look at things more rationally, and then you would think that you want to read all of the books. You want to read as much as you can to gain more knowledge. But that impulse doesn't happen until a certain stage that not everyone gets to. And so for those people that are more shut down, they have more limited options available to them, I think it's important to give them respect, because you have to remember you yourself must have been in that situation earlier in your life, eh?
But, were you in that situation earlier? And if so, what changed it for you?
Well, yes, I was. When I was, let's say, up until the age of about 13, I was involved in fundamentalist Christianity. And around that age, I started asking questions, more and more questions, and those questions were not appropriate questions. They were not supported. I was asking the wrong questions or something, and I was told not to ask those questions. And that just wasn't satisfying to me. I had more of an inquiring mind, and I wanted to know more. So that eventually, I made a break from that, sadly, because I think spirituality is very important, but the packages that we often have today there's not often a clear way to move up to the next level. I think that's a failing in the conflict between science and religion. And that's something that can be healed, I think, because there are rational approaches to spirituality. But I didn't become aware of that until, say, 25 years later.
Did you by chance have one of those so-called aha moments?
I've had many epiphanies throughout my life, and especially in the last 10 years, say. And when you have those aha moments, it sort of, your mind expands in a way, and it just won't fit back in those smaller boxes that it used to be in,
I've noticed that I became addicted to those aha moments, and if I don't have one every now and again, I start to get really frustrated that I'm still where I am in my consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It can be addictive when you're moving along and you're like, yeah, this is great. And then you're like stagnating and you're wondering what's wrong. Why don't I have these epiphanies as frequently? Yeah, and I noticed that with the time codes. When I'm really on my path, I'm seeing synchronicity all the time in so many ways. And when I'm not on that path of discovery, these things happen less frequently, and I need more of a period of rest. But you know, it can't all be roses. Sometimes you need to process your shadow elements or whatever, and work through your life, and before you're able to go ahead and keep at it. One thing personally, I've had a different perspective on things is that I was actually born without both of my legs below the knee, and my hand, my right hand, I don't have my right hand. I was born without these limbs because of a rare birth defect. And so I walked on artificial legs all my life. And as I was growing, a new pair every year. And this has given me a different perspective than most people, and I'm actually grateful for it, because it, at an early age, that I am not my body. I'm something. My body is defective, and my body does fine. Really, I can get along just fine. I have artificial legs. I can walk around. You wouldn't know it if you met me, unless I told you that, like I did. But it's allowed me to see beyond the body, that I'm a spirit in inhabiting a body. And so that's something that a lot of people are not aware of, I don't think. They identify wholly with their bodies. And
Hold on, Scott. Yeah. Well, I identify wholly with my commercial breaks, and we're coming up to one now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few minutes with Scott on Start. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. If you are listening in New Zealand, it is Tuesday through Saturday, not Monday through Friday, because we broadcast live from the future. My very special guest is Scott Onstott from SecretsInPlainSight.com. Over the break, I was thinking, Scott, when I talk to brilliant men such as yourself, the thing that I really most want to get from you is what you're not quite figured out yet. What are some of the things, based on your current research and your life, that you're still wondering about that you just haven't quite figured out?
Well, just about everything I'm still wondering about, and looking at more evidence in cities of these numbers and geometries and alignments. Is there a world grid behind it? Is there some kind of overarching plan there? That's what I'm interested in finding out. I'm also really interested in consciousness and exploring different states and stages of consciousness, because I think that all of these secrets in plain sight ultimately boil down to consciousness, questions of consciousness. And I think that often the problems that we have in the world are problems of consciousness and problems of spirituality being blocked. And so if I can contribute in some way, I'm looking for ways to do that. And so I've created two films, volumes 1 and 2, and I have ideas for volume 3, but it hasn't crystallized yet. I'm still in a research phase there. But I'm a person that's interested in a great number of things, and I don't claim to have figured it all out. And that's what it's about here, is trying to figure it out. I think life is like a big learning experience. It's an opportunity to really advance your consciousness, I think, and that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to work on that. Not always that successfully, but sometimes more than others. Anyway.
In terms of challenges, have you had barriers put in your way that you've had to overcome in order to get these films and continue your work and research? I mean, what's your main source of funding? I mean, are you still working doing your architecture?
Yeah, how I've been making my living the last 15 years or so is writing technical books, primarily to architects and engineers. I was educated as an architect, and I worked in San Francisco for about 6 years, and learned a great deal in my early 20s. And then I taught a lot in San Francisco also. But since then, I've been selling instructional videos and writing books on AutoCAD and Photoshop and 3ds Max and SketchUp, and those things have been my livelihood. And you know, they still are. And so I had to take a year off to create Secrets in Plain Sight Volume 1. And fortunately, I had some products that were selling very well at that time. And that allowed me to take time off and develop the whole film. But then after that, I had to go back. I had to write a few more books on AutoCAD and Photoshop. I have AutoCAD 2012 and 13, and now I'm working on 14, Essentials. And I have published a book called Photoshop CS6 Essentials. And that's more for a general audience. If you're wanting to learn Photoshop, that's a good place to start. And so I have this balance between making money with my software knowledge and teaching ability, and on the other hand, doing research and creating films on hidden and esoteric subjects. And, you know, I'd like the balance to be more towards Secrets in Plain Sight and less of the software tutorials, but that's a process that I'm engaged in now and trying to shift that balance over. But it's not something that happens overnight. So that's sort of my dramatic tension in my life, is trying to drum up more business for my films on Secrets in Plain Sight. And so that's where I'm at.
I completely resonate with that. First couple of years doing this radio show and others making films about activism and stuff like that, you know how when you do odd jobs, things like that, just to make a little bit of extra money so you can just keep doing what you're doing. I was making dance party videos, so I was being invited to parties and filming them, making the videos for YouTube, things like that. And it's only been in the last year or so that I realized I don't need to do those anymore. I've reached the level that I wish to, which was to be able to do this and only this for my source of income, because I believed at the time, and I still believe it now, that this element of my life, this research element, the betterment of mankind, is a frackload more important than dancing around being drunk.
That's right. Certainly. And it would be wonderful if we could figure out an economic system that could support us each to do what we feel inspired to do. And that has been the story of humanity for a long time, in trying to figure out a better way to do that. And we're not quite there yet. But, again, it's important to be grateful for the time you do have to spend on your creative projects, on your passions, on what you want to do in this life. Mm. And, we still have to pay the bills, don't we?
Mm. So there's always attention. Economically speaking, if you're spending your time and researches for the benefit of others, maybe their knowledge or their research or their lives or something of that nature, ergo the economic support actually should have to come from those others. It's the only way I've actually figured out that this realm can actually function in the current economic system. If I give to my audience something, I do not demand that they give me something back, but I do ask, well, and I do receive.
I think that it always works out. In my life, that's been the case. However the mysterious process works, there's always just enough to keep going. And, without having to do any sale, any marketing, really. I've never really done any marketing. I've just put things up on my website, and the right number of people buy them. There's some kind of mysterious process there whereby that happens, you know.
It's like you're meant to be able to keep continuing doing what you're doing. You ever felt like that?
Sometimes I do, yeah. I certainly felt that way in creating Secrets in Plain Sight. I felt really inspired, and I worked harder on it than I'd ever worked on any project before. Now it's more of a balance. I'm writing a book on AutoCAD right now, and when that's done, I'll have more time to create Volume 3. And it's exciting, isn't it? When you get in that groove of discovery and really, making things happen, getting it out, I find that really exhilarating. It seems like that's what I'm meant to do. So, I'll go with that.
Yeah, man. For me, it was radically different. I just after having a couple of bad experiences with job after job, whether that be obtaining really high levels of income and things like that, and then just getting tired and bored of it because I was the best. And it's just as soon as I become number one at something, that's when my motivation goes away, essentially.
Yeah, because you no longer have anything to learn there. Yeah?
That's right.
You're the best. You're just like, okay, now I got to try something else to, where I can apply my creative intelligence to it. Right? Is that how you feel?
That's precisely right. And that's the reason why when I was employable, I'd usually not be in a position for any longer than 6 months, because that would be as long as I'd need to surpass everybody else who'd been inducted at the same time as myself.
Yeah.
Because I always put in the extra effort. And now I'm thinking, is being the best even worth the effort? Is it instead simply finding my place?
Yeah. Unless you have something to prove to yourself or others, being the very best isn't necessary, is it?
No.
But finding your place is where you want to be, is a noble pursuit, I think. It's a worthwhile, effort.
Well, I think finding your place is actually about your relationship with others to a large extent, giving others what they don't have, if you know what I'm saying. Like, the reason I'm doing this radio show and interviewing people like yourself is because people like yourself don't have radio shows and the ability to market themselves all over the place, and activists from all over the world, whether that be in New Zealand or the United States or otherwise, they don't have the resources or the time to do things like this that I'm doing. But I do, so I give it to those who need it and, or more specifically, deserve it. Because the conversation that you and I have had about the numbers and the ley lines and distances and things of that nature, this is incredible information. But it's at such a highbrow level that the quantity of people that would be even capable of processing the information, let alone want to listen to it, is actually a very, very small minority in terms of the global population.
Yeah.
And I want to make a concerted effort to unbalance that equation. I want that group to grow.
Well, I really appreciate you, inviting me on your show and making that effort. I think that there's a lot of people that that have benefited from watching Secrets in Plain Sight, and yet there are vast numbers of people who haven't seen it yet, and who may be ready to see it and really get something out of it. And so finding ways to reach more people is always good. And, you know, on YouTube, if you add up the different channels where I have my videos from my Volume 1 hosted, I think I have more than 2 million views, which sounds great. But when you look on YouTube and you see a woman walking down the street with tight jeans on gets 55 million views, then you just keep things in perspective that there's a very small niche audience that's looking at my films right now. But I have to say that every day, every single day, I get emails from people thanking me and or asking a question or giving me a link to something that they've found. And that interaction has been very rewarding. That, you know, there's like a family, if you will, out there that I'm connected with electronically. And that's a good feeling.
It's precisely the same for this show, Scott. The reason why you're on the show is because one of my listeners suggested you come on. And I try to do that, you know. I've got the radio show, they don't, but they want to hear people that I've never heard about. And so here you are.
That's excellent. Yeah, we're helping each other, aren't we, in this wonderful, brave new world of the Internet, where, you know, it's incredible that we can be having this conversation even, considering the distance that we are physically apart from each other right now. And yet we can share this conversation with anyone in the world with an Internet connection. I mean, maybe I'm, you know, geeking out here because I'm, you know, 42 years old and I was born before any of this was possible. But it still amazes me, you know, the technology of this communication system is amazing when we use it for its highest purpose. But all too often it's used for, I have to say, dumbing people down or keeping people pacified, sort of bred in circuses, watching all these shows that just don't really help you at all. I think people need to, it would be helpful if people would maybe turn off their television for a while and think their own thoughts or tune in proactively to shows like this where they can learn something. You know, it's all up to the individual, and we have that. The beautiful thing is that we all have that option right now. And, you know, there's nothing stopping you from learning more about anything. It's all right there at the Internet. So the question is, where do you get that motivation from, and where do you, you know, what avenues should you pursue? Because the problem we have now is that there's way too much noise, in a way. How can you find the right shows to look at now? And that's where we need to look for people like you who, you know, present certain speakers and present certain information for people's consideration, and it can save
a lot
of time in finding those people.
And now, here we are. We've come to a break again. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Must be some kind of way out of here. Welcome back to the final segment for today with my miraculously incredible guest, who I've grown fond of after just a short conversation and the time we've had together, Scott Onstott from secretsinplainsight.com. And you were speaking before, Scott, about how if you added up all the views on your videos across the various channels and appearances you've made, it's about 2 million. And what I feel is that you brought up the example of a woman walking down the road with tight jeans getting 50 million views. And I remember one time I was trying to explain to somebody that I'd only just hit 1 million views on my YouTube channel alone. And he says, well, that's not a measure of success. After all, Chris Crocker, famous for the "Leave Britney Alone" video, got 20, 30, 50 million hits. And I said to him, what I'm going to say to you now, apples with apples.
That's right.
It's no comparison.
Yeah.
You're not doing the same. You're not covering the same topics. You're not appealing to the same audience. So 2 million for somebody in research with numerology and occult symbolism and things of that nature, and the very structure mathematically of the earth, our civilization, the moon and the sun and the universe itself, 2 million is a hell of an achievement.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, Secrets in Plain Sight Volume 1 is 3 hours and 45 minutes long. And so it's quite an epic film. And I actually don't recommend trying to watch it all in one sitting, because there's just so much information in there. It's really more like a whole season of television in that time. And on my site, I originally had posted 23 different episodes that were about 10 to 15 minutes long. And that's a good approach, is to just watch it in chunks like that and think about it. And, you know, if anything comes up, verify it yourself on Wikipedia or do a little web research or whatever. The whole point of it is to be thought-provoking and make you want to discuss these issues with other people.
Mm. And so, that's actually a good point, because I had 2 points that I wanted to address before we finished the show, and you just touched upon the second one, discussing it with other people. In this realm, being alone is one of the things that we all kind of deal with. As soon as you start to wake up for it, you lose friends. Sometimes family members don't want to talk to you anymore. Some of us lose our forms of employment, and I've found that the greatest gift that you can really bestow on somebody else is just letting them know that they're not alone in all of this.
That's very true. That's very helpful to know that you're not alone. And I've been very grateful to the fans who I'm in constant contact with. There's a community of people on Facebook that I'm in close contact with, and people are emailing me every day, and it's really been wonderful that way. There's really like a family of like-minded individuals out there that are honestly seeking to know more about the universe, to learn more about the cities, to learn more about all these occult issues and so on. So that's interesting, and those people are spread out around the world. They're not all in one place. So it's sort of like a distributed tribe, in a way. And
it's only with the internet that we've been able to come together.
And growing up.
Sorry, what was that?
It's a group of people that are waking up and growing up, you know, and evolving in their consciousness, I think. And those are the people I want to hang out with, really, the people that are trying to develop themselves.
Mm. As opposed to the negative Nancys who communicate usually only in all caps.
There you go. Yeah, there's always some hecklers in there, right, who just want to naysay. And that's fine. You know, they need to have an outlet for that. But there isn't much discussion there, is there, when you just don't like it. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. It's like, bro, you're not listening to me. This conversation's over before it began.
Well, maybe I can give you a few more numbers or something to round this out, if you like.
Well, we have about 6 minutes left. Do you have anything on that plane?
Yeah. I can tell you some things about 864. In your neighboring country there in Australia, in the capital city, Canberra, there's a parliamentary triangle. And my friend Jan Tholstrup is connected with me on Facebook originally, he pointed out that triangle has a perimeter of 8,640 meters. Again, we have the 864. I noticed that the land axis of of that triangle, that is, the line running right through the middle of it, going to the Australian War Memorial, has a bearing of 216 degrees from true north, and that is 6 times 6 times 6. And, of course, 216 is part of that whole sequence of numbers that we were talking about earlier, the next being 432. And so it's clear that Walter Burley Griffin and his wife, Marion Griffin, created this design, and they encoded these numbers in that plan, and I've never seen it published anywhere. It's been a secret in plain sight, and there you go, encoded in the Capitol city there.
Have you seen the Capitol building, the Parliament building there?
Incredible structure there. I sort of think it's like representing some kind of high energy physics diagram or something in the plan. I still don't really have my mind wrapped around that entire building because it is clearly full of symbolism. I know that the flagpole is 81 meters high, and 81 is a very key number. And I just don't think we have quite enough time to go into that particular tangent. But
well, I've had a look at that flagpole, as you say. I'm not sure if we're talking about the same one, but atop the Parliament building is four poles that are joined to create a sort of a pyramid, and on top of that pyramid, which they create, is the Australian flag.
That's right. It's that pyramid with a pole on that goes up from the apex of the four joined poles that goes up to 81 meters.
Nice. You know, if anybody else thinks about the Illuminati all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid or anything like that, go to Canberra. There's a representation of it there.
Right.
This is something that drives people
that
nuts.
Tree Hill that you mentioned in New Zealand.
Yeah. It's something that drives people crazy, eh? Because I don't know about you, but I do feel that a lot of the architecture and structure, not least of the buildings, but of our society, is sort of like crazy and sociopathic to a large degree. And to dunk your head into that water, sometimes you get what you pay for.
Yeah, I guess so. You don't necessarily have to focus on those issues, because what we do focus on becomes our reality, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Becomes your main direction in life. And I just want to say to people, you know, don't get lost. You know, by all means, have a look down whatever path you want, learn anything you can. But if you're, as you said, Scott, if your focus becomes evil, conspiracy, scumbaggery of some description, believe me, and I've gone through this, and maybe you have too, I started to get really, really angry and upset and aflamed, and my life became a lot harder.
David Icke and having that experience where I went through this period of tremendous angst, I suppose, in becoming aware of this global conspiracy, and I think that's a process everyone ought to go through, but you don't want to stay there in that kind of zone where you're freaked out and angry for too long, or it will have negative influences on your health.
Not least upon your social relationships, particularly with family. There's been a couple of times when I've screamed at my siblings and things of that nature for no real reason.
You don't want to alienate your family, I think, even if they're not on the same page. But I empathize with you, you know. This can happen where you can yell it at people and they just don't understand. And it's sort of a growth thing where you have to realize, well, maybe they're not meant to understand yet, and you don't need to force people to understand these things, because they may come to it at their own pace.
Exactly. Don't take responsibility for other people's development. That's their responsibility.
Take responsibility.
One thing you are responsible for yourself.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I want to give out your website, secretsinplainsight.com, where you can learn more about the symbols and numbers and things of that nature. And I believe you also have your other website. Is that scottonstock.com, where you publish all your Photoshop books and things of that nature, yes?
That's right, yes.
All right. So you can enjoy them in two different ways, ladies and gentlemen. You can either learn the thing that he makes his money off, or you can learn the thing that he spends his money on.
There you go. Thanks very much, Vinny. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise, man. Likewise. Never underestimate the power of collaboration, and never underestimate the power of a small, determined minority to change the course of history. Because as history will show you, they're the only group of people who actually ever has. Thanks very much for your time. And thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see you again next week, if you're lucky.